This is Michigan Radio. I'm Emily Fox. Celebrities have been throwing their money in the Flint water bucket and made appearances in the city recently. Let's meet one celebrity who has a personal connection to Flint's water crisis. John Connor was born and raised in Flint. He was living in Flint up until 2 years ago. That's when Dr. Dre got word of his music and signed him on to his record label, Aftermath. Connor then moved to California, but his heart remains in his hometown.
Honestly, you know, I am Flint. That's been my whole, you know, career. Is, you know, anytime you see me, it's Flint, 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 Flint. Like, that's all I've ever been about. So I didn't want to be the dude like that in a time where my city needs me the most. I'm somewhere in Cali with an umbrella in my pina colada. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, man, that's crazy. What's going on in Flint? You know what I'm saying? It's like, no, no, no. I'm going to go home and I'm going to go be with the people.
Connor has been in Flint for the past 2 weeks. He's volunteered at the Food Bank of Eastern Michigan and the Boys and Girls Club in Flint. And he also dropped a song while he was in town. It's called Fresh Water for Flint. This week I met John Connor at his mother's house in Flint.
But as you can see, like, you already got your bottle of waters right there.
The water at this house is in better shape than other houses in Flint. John Connor's mom has been tested for lead, and she's fine. Connor is running the faucet in his mom's bathroom sink. It's clear today, but it isn't always.
Like, the water situation here is, yeah, you know, before I got here, I asked her that same question, and she said, yeah, my water comes out like a yellowish color sometimes, and when it's not that, it smells like bleach.
Connor says this water crisis wasn't the first disaster that Flint has faced. I asked him how he would describe Flint outside of the water crisis that's happening in the city right now.
You know, my whole career, I've always been trying to bring an awareness to Flint and places like Flint. Like I said the other day, like, the water situation wasn't the start of Flint's crisis state. You know what I mean? It's like, before this, it wasn't the greatest place to live. You know, before that, you know, you had a crime rate that was steady, having Flint be in the top one and two most dangerous places to live, you know, in the United States. And even, I don't know if you looked around, you know, when you came, you know, today, because we're sitting in my mother's house, it's like, you know, the scenery is not inspiring. You know, you got boarded up houses, you got my mother who lives in between two vacant lots, and then around the corner from whole neighborhood blocks that are abandoned houses. You have, you know, automotive industry that was here and then picked up and left, and that kind of drained the city of its hope. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, before the water situation, Flint had a lot of things that we needed to fix, you know, in the first place, a lot of things we needed to concentrate on. But this is something like I've never seen before. Like, this is like third world country.
Tell me a little bit more about what life was like here in Flint growing up as a kid.
So I grew up on the north side of Flint, where when I was growing up, it was always a predominantly black area. But the thing is, it was like, you know, the houses were kept up, the lawns were cut, you know, you could go outside and all the neighborhood kids, you know, you playing football or stuff like that. It reminds you of like the neighborhood from Friday. The heart of your neighborhood is good. And that's what I feel like, you know, nowadays, the heart of Flint is kind of being taken out, you know what I mean? And so, yeah, growing up in Flint, it was cool. But also, I grew up thinking that certain things were normal that weren't, you know? I grew up being used to hearing gunshots at night. That wasn't, like, even I joked the other day, like, there's a gunshot drill that I think everybody in Flint know. If you hear gunshots, you cut all the lights out, you get on the floor for, like, 10 seconds, 15 seconds, cut the TV off, and then it's like, okay, and then you wait for like the car to go vroom, and then you know to get back up and everybody goes back to watching TV. It's like, I didn't know that those things weren't normal until I started moving around and living outside of Flint. Like, wow, it's kind of cool not hearing gunshots. You know what I'm saying? It's just kind of sweet. But I love it because it's the adversity that made me who I am and gave me the strength to become the man that I am. So I wouldn't trade any of it for the world. But, you know, that's why it breaks my heart now.
I mean, we have seen a lot of changes with Flint, especially when a lot of things change with the auto industry. But with this water crisis right now, how has that changed Flint?
You know, I'm here in my mother's house. I came to from California to check on my moms and check on my loved ones and all of that. And, you know, friends of mine have been coming over, and I'm always the dude. I like to gather people together and just be positive about things. But, you know, I had a friend of mine, you know, she had to go get tested for lead, right? And, you know, these are things that we read about in the paper, but I'm seeing it firsthand how it's affecting the people. Like, she broke down in the middle of us laughing and talking. It was just like she started crying because it's like it's real, like that our kids have to go get checked and could be damaged for the rest of their life. It's like the effect that that's having on people, it really breaks my heart, because what I have always loved about my city is that no matter how hard it was, we like, nah, it ain't that bad. But this thing right here is like something that's so devastating that you can't even pretend because it's so real.
When you're talking to friends or your family now that you're in town, what upsets them the most about the situation?
For one, the fact that it's even happening. You know, think about it. Like, it's a couple things that you cannot live without. And one is air and one is water. And I think that also what bothers people is that there are children who didn't have a choice in the matter. You know what I mean? It's like adults in positions of power made this decision about lives that have barely even got started and barely even have a chance to live life. They don't even know what's going on. I think that the fact that, you know, there was no choice in the matter, the fact that it's even happening, the fact that you trust, you know, your government, you know, to make decisions like this, you know what I'm saying? And now it's like, who do you trust when, like Michael Moore said, it's not a natural disaster. This is a decision that was made to save money, so.
The risk to lives of people here in a city that is majority African-American, where 41% live below the official poverty line. When they knew the truth that this water was poison, they chose to keep it quiet. They knew that the people here did not have the political power to do anything about it.
They want me to talk about these fake crimes and these hate crimes. How the fuck I'm supposed to care about overseas when locally everybody in my city and state done? They want to act like it ain't happening. Or like I'm just rapping. Like I'm going to watch y'all kill my city and y'all wasn't going to get a reaction. No, no. Every time I go visit for Christmas, it seems like it's more houses that's missing. It looks like it's more houses that's boarded. Oh, I'm posing, I say this shit. But the fact it's poison all in all water. It look like population control, or they don't give a fuck. Well, that's how I call it. No, no. My city been fucked up for a long time. When we draw the line, it's like they've been saying fuck us for a long time. More kids go to jail than in colleges. They act like they don't see where the problem is. This shit flip me resilient. Reality is every day we was living like hostages. For you, that's a topic on Twitter. For me, listen, this is where my mama is. It's like an experiment on us to see if we break while they see where the bottom is. Hope I probably ain't gonna like the language, but I'm tired of feeling like human. Like, no matter if you ain't famous, I speak for the people. My end, cause it's happy I made it. It ain't about races. They make it seem so complicated when the water is killing our babies. The message you sending is killing our spirit. You saying that we ain't worth saving. My papa put 40 years in that shop. My mama put 30 years in that shop. Now you turn your head like y'all forgotten us. It's like we don't matter. This shit just got bad. I'm trying to restore the faith in my pastor. And they wonder why, and they wonder why we rebel. We ain't never lived a fairy tale. We feel like somebody help us, God help us, so we finna give them hell.
I've been speaking with Flint native and rapper John Connor. His song Freshwater for Flint will be part of a full-length album he'll release this summer dedicated to the city of Flint.